Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Sport plays an important role in prisons and can promote the health and well-being of prisoners, contribute to a safer living environment and help prisoners to lead law-abiding and useful lives after release. What impact, though, have Gaelic games had in prison in Ireland? Historian, author and curator Dr. Siobhan Doyle has looked into the involvement of the GAA in prisons going right back to 1916, and she is here to tell us more. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, Philip.
Pretty niche for any historian, Nev. The playing of not just sports, but GAA specifically in prisons. How did you identify this as an area of research?
So a couple of years ago, I was writing my first book, A History of the GAA in 100 Objects, which looks at the GAA through a new lens. So through things like jerseys, documents, trophies, all that kind of thing. And one theme that emerged, which I was very surprised by, is the emergence of GAA in prisons, how vastly it was played throughout the years. As you said, started in 1916 right up until the present day. It has had a massive presence within Irish prisons.
I'm not surprised when you go back to the War of Independence and that time that there was sufficient numbers to be able to play. So let's start there, will we? To what extent was it being played?
So you have thousands of Irish men and women been imprisoned. And, you know, there's a lot of time on your hands in prison. And particularly during the revolutionary years, there was an intense Gaelicism that emerged in prison. So lots of prisoners getting together and trying to identify a common ground. And the GAA was one of those. And it was also another way for them to perform their identity. Mm-hmm. So you have different tournaments and matches being organised by inmates as a way of establishing camaraderie, but also, you know, to pass the time as well. It was mostly Gaelic football, rounders and handball, purely due to the less equipment that you need, the better.
Does it surprise you that the British authorities allowed what was obviously an expression of national identity to go on behind bars and under their noses?
Yeah, I guess. It was quite a surprise. But I suppose whatever keeps the prisoners happy and maybe out of trouble.
And occupied, perhaps, yeah.
Definitely.
And this was organised to the extent that there was an All-Ireland final of sorts in Frongoch in Wales.
Yeah, that's right. So Frongoch is one of the prisons overseas that was used during the Irish Revolution. So you have thousands of Irish prisoners being sent to Wales and to other parts of England. But Frongoch in particular, after the 1916 Rising, had many inter-county players, and in particular Kerry and Louth, who were among the top teams of inter-county football at the time. And they had both teams had qualified for the semi-final of the GAA's secondary tournament. It's called the Wolfetone Tournament, so kind of like the equivalent of, say, the National League Finals. Mm-hmm. But most of the players on the teams were imprisoned in Frongoch, so they decided to play out that match, and it became known as the All-Ireland behind barbed wire. Kerry won by a point.
Very important. Surprised in some respects.
Yeah, and it was a big event. You had over 15,000 prisoners going to see the match, and it was a big event, one that all of the prisoners got behind and promoted amongst themselves. And there's a wonderful RTE documentary on One podcast about that match, and it's absolutely fascinating.
How did they improvise things like balls?
Yeah, I mean, in prison you have to make do with what you have. You might not always be provided with the equipment to play sports, to play the GAA. In the National Museum of Ireland, we have a rugby ball from Frongoch Prison that was used to play Gaelic football. We also have a sideline flag that was made from a handkerchief. And Kilmainham Jail have a rounder's bat that was made out of a leg of a chair. So you have very innovative methods by the prisoners in order to play Gaelic games
and
in there.
Was it only handball, rounders and football? I mean, presumably, given the volunteers had been drilling with hurleys over their shoulders, there probably wasn't any hurling allowed, was there?
There was a small bit of hurling allowed, but as you can imagine, due to the equipment that's required, was quite restricted. But there's one story from Spike Island and after the War of Independence, that there was one prisoner, Patrick White was his name, was involved in a hurling match. By the way, the hurls were distributed by the officers and they had to be returned by the prisoners afterwards so that they couldn't be used as weapons. But Patrick White was involved in a hurling match on Spike Island and he went to retrieve a slitter that was, you know, out. It had trickled out near the edge of the boundaries and he went to retrieve it and he was shot. He died of his injuries a couple of days later. So, you know, a kind of a martyr of hurling within that, within Spike Island. And there was a plaque unveiled in his memory a number of years ago on Spike Island.
Let's fast forward to the the modern era. And to what extent has the GAA become involved itself in the promotion of its games behind bars?
Yeah, they've really embraced it. There's more formal ways of being involved in GAA in prisons now. So prisoners can engage in foundation courses for coaching. Ulster GAA have been involved in that, as have other prisons such as Mountjoy. You have matches been played between prisoners and prison officers. There's been a really good documentary a couple of years ago by Philia McMahon and Rory Stories, whereby they went into prisons and trained prisoners to play Gaelic football, which culminated in a match in Croke Park. So the GAA is recognising its history in Gaelic games presence within the prison system, but also embracing it and funding it and helping it to grow.
It hasn't always been embraced, though, by some prisons, has it?
Definitely not. And it definitely always hasn't been embraced by the GAA. You have during the Troubles in the 1970s and 80s, prisoners weren't allowed to play Gaelic games. We have evidence of prisoners writing to the presidents of the GAA asking for them to send equipment. During my research, I found a letter written by a prisoner in Longkesh to the president of the GAA in 1982, asking the president to send him information on the GAA so that he can do a lecture for prisoners.
Now, we know that the IRA used toilet paper and very, very small writing to smuggle messages in and out of prisons all the time. But results of matches too.
Yeah, that was also the case as well. I mean, communication wasn't at its highest. But for many, the results of GAA matches were of great importance to prisoners and you just wanted to find out how your team was doing. So yeah, that was absolutely the case as well.
As I said at the beginning, your work in the National Museum of Ireland, the museum holds many items related to Gaelic games being played in prisons. What are some of the other objects that you have?
On display in our GAA People, Objects and Stories exhibition, which is currently open in the National Museum of Ireland in Collins Barracks, we have a handball that was used by Eamon de Valera while he was in prison in Kilmainham Jail. He was a great.
How do you know? How do you know for sure?
So this, well, we have, it's believed to be, and we have that written on the label, so no worries about that. It was handed over by neighbours of Kilmainham Jail. The handballs used to go over their fence, so they held on to them. And
they wouldn't give Dev his ball back. They held on to it.
I'm not sure if he asked for it back. But Eamon de Valera used to play against the governor of the prison in Kilmainham, William Corry. So we also see Gaelic games as a way of kind of breaking down boundaries within the prison system too.
That's very interesting. I wonder, would it have been regarded as fraternisation at the time or just the Longfellow being wily and clever? Thank you very much, Siobhan Doyle, historian, curator in the National Museum, as well as the author of A History of the GAA in 100 Objects. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.